truly are thankful for the presence of all of you this morning. And it's good to be back home. And thanks to Dwight for filling in for me last Sunday evening. And for all of those, Ben, who taught my class on Wednesday night, we're most grateful and thankful. Really thankful for all of you that are here this morning to worship and honor God. And what a joy it is to be able to enter into the house of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father who is in heaven. You know, this morning we're going to talk about patterns. And you know, the Bible teaches us that we are to build all things according to the pattern of God. Do you realize that everything in the world has a blueprint? And if anything is to be really constructed right, you have to go by that blueprint. We understand that. And we have to build it according to its conformity. And so this morning, I want you to think with me about this subject, according to the blueprint. You know, a pattern and a blueprint is so important. We have blueprints for this building. You had blueprints for your house. Now, you may have never seen them. I've never seen the blueprints for our house. It's an older home. But I know one thing, that there was a blueprint. There had to be an architect, someone that designed it and fashioned it, but also constructed it. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that Jesus is not only the architect, but he is the contractor, if you will. He is the one who is in construction also. We have to have a blueprint to build the house of God. People understand that if a woman is going to make a dress for herself or for her children, then there has to be a blueprint. By the way, how many of you women still sew? None of you. Oh, a few of you. I'm sorry. No. But you understand the value of a blueprint, do you not? There is a blueprint for our government. And we've been reminded of that over the last few days, even more so than not. There is a blueprint that we call the Constitution of the United States of America. And it is based not upon one's opinion, but it is based upon the framers of the Constitution, what was written, what was ratified, and what became law. And you and I, we the people, are the ones who implement that great Constitution of the United States of America. Do you realize that God has a pattern also for all things, and God's pattern is perfect? Do you realize that sometimes when men draw or draft up a blueprint, sometimes there are flaws within that blueprint and adjustments have to be made? Well, that's not the case with God's pattern. God had a pattern in his creation of mankind. He did. God created everything, and the seven-day week is a pattern for mankind, isn't it? God didn't change the days. He created everything in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. But everything reproduces after its own kind, whether we're talking about plants or whether we're talking about animals, whether we're talking about human beings. God made man. Man does not evolve on his own, but God created us. He made us in his likeness, Genesis chapter 2. Think about it, even the seasons. We're now in what we call the autumn season or the fall season. And the seasons will always be. So the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, the sun that is to guide the world by day and the moon that will guide the world by night. And the Bible says that those will always remain, according to the book of Genesis 8 and verse 22. The directions were decreed by Almighty God, David said in Psalms 89, and if men reject God's evidence, listen to this, that he is the creator of the universe, according to Romans 1 and verse 18, then they are without excuse. God's dealing with Moses in the Old Testament is a very interesting scenario. It is. For in Exodus 25, in verse 40, the Scripture says, as he speaks to Moses, "And look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was shown unto thee in the mount." When God designed a tabernacle, he told them that it was going to be built in a certain way. It would have certain dimensions, just like God did with Noah and the ark. Remember that? Well, in Exodus 26 and 30, God says, "And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion." That's the word that's used in the Hebrew, but it is the same word that we would use for the word blueprint or pattern. "The fashion thereof which was showed unto thee in the mount." No man had the right to change it, augment, ameliorate in any way what God had said. A blueprint, by definition, is a conformity to which a thing must be made. Now, that's according to Thayer, who wrote the Greek lexicon here and helped us define words, and W. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, that help us understand what a blueprint actually is. And in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, the Scripture says, "For if he were on earth, that if Jesus, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, he said, 'See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that was showed thee in the mount.'" Now, God over and over and over says that, and the reason it is said over and over is that man has that propensity to want to change or augment what God has said. Men through the ages of time have had real problems accepting the Word of God. They want to change it. They want to change what God says, or they want to add to it. They don't like what God says. But you and I are no longer under the old law. The church was never to be structured on or under the old law. We're not instructed to build a tabernacle like Moses was commanded to build. You know, sometimes people have great difficulty in understanding the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But you know, the Bible says that the Old Testament is an Old Testament. It is an old will. It is no longer efficacious. It is no longer powerful in our lives, but you and I live under what we call the New Testament. For in Galatians chapter 3, 24 and 25, "Wherefore the law was just simply a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith, but after that faith is come, we are no longer," listen to this, "under the schoolmaster." That is, we're no longer under the old law. But there was a value to the old law. Paul says it was a schoolmaster. Romans 15, 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." God saved it and preserved it for a reason. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul again writes, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world has come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." When we study these things that we're talking about here this morning, we have to continue to explore those underlying principles that pertain unto you and to me and actually to all men. Well, how do these principles apply to us today? When we talk about the pattern of the Old Testament, if the Bible says it was a schoolmaster, then how do we make application of those things? Well, just as God actually expressed his mind to Moses, by the way, he did the same thing to Noah, didn't he? Didn't he tell Noah how to build that ark? He didn't say, "Noah, go build an ark." But he told him exactly how he wanted it built. He wanted the dimensions of it, the height of it, the length of it, the depth of it, the window, the door, I mean, everything about it was not left up to Noah, but it was left up to God. And he has expressed his mind toward us, and he has given us instructions to follow. For Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God who in sundry times, that is in different ways, and in divers manners, different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But notice, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, that is Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So our pattern comes from the great architect, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. You have to ask yourself the question, is there a blueprint in the New Testament just like there was in the Old? When it comes to the church, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we just build the church any way we want to. We can design it any way we want to. And we can construct it any way we want to. And we kind of really believe that we are the architect and that we are the contractor. That's not true. Many contend that there is no law, and that there is no blueprint, that it is left up to us to use our own judgment. But in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, but with judgment, listen, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. If you believe that there is no law, this concept assumes that we think like God. Now get that picture just a minute in your mind. If God says, hey, you know, we can just go ahead and do anything we want to in the church, not so though, however. But that concept assumes that we think like God, and so we're just naturally going to do it like God wants it. We don't do it. If I designed the church, I would design it a little bit different than the way it is. But I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to tamper with God's law. But there are a lot of other people that are tampering with it today, and they are changing it. And they are giving a new blueprint. They're trying to reinvent the church. But what about the church? Is there really a pattern in the church that we must follow in order for us to build it just like God said? Well, even though there are a lot of people that say, well, there is no pattern, we know that's not true. Our pattern is given in the Holy Scriptures. Sometimes I think people take more pride in the Constitution of the United States of America than they do this book. In all of those hearings about our new Supreme Court Justice, and I thank God for his confirmation yesterday. And I want to tell you something, folks. I think that was the will of God, not the will of man. And that was what disturbed so many, many people. It was the will of God. God's people were praying about it. And I believe God answered that prayer. But did you know in all of those hearings, we heard more about the constitutionality of that process? I don't know that anyone except Judge Kavanaugh mentioned the Word of God. I think he's the only one. Now, isn't that amazing? That shows you what kind of man we have on the bench now, and I thank God for him. The Word of God can only light our way. It can. For in Psalms 119, verse 105, David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Notice that. His word is a lamp to us and a light to our way wherever we are. And then in Psalms 28, for thou will light my candle, O Lord, my God will enlighten my darkness. And the people of God in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah said, we have seen a great light. If there is no blueprint, then why would it be wrong to add or diminish from the Word of God? You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, 18 and 19, the Bible says that we're not to add to the Word, nor are we to take away from the Word of God. Why would God say that if there's not a blueprint, if there's not a pattern? Isn't that what he's saying here? He says, I testify unto every one of you that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto the things, these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the Lamb's book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's pretty staggering, isn't it? Look back in the Old Testament again in the book of Deuteronomy 4 in verse 2. God said it again, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Now listen to that. God said it in the Old Testament, and he said it in the New Testament. Therefore, we as members of the body of Christ must conform to the blueprint that we find in the Holy Scriptures. It is a universal law of God. That law has not changed. It hasn't. For Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 says, Paul says to those Galatian brethren who had been baptized and who had become Christians, they're departing from the will of God. And he writes to them and says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." People are perverting the gospel of Jesus all over the world. They are. Think about all of the perversion that is going on, not just out in the world, but in the church of the living God. And he says, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, then that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed," or the Greek word is anathema, cut off. "And as we said before, so say we now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed." You see, if there is no pattern, then Christianity would be chaotic, wouldn't it? Think about it. 1 Corinthians 14:33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Consider this, if you will, this morning. If there is no pattern, then Christianity would be chaotic. It would, wouldn't it? I mean, if God said, "Just go for it yourselves," could you imagine what that would be like? Just do your own thing, and that's what people are doing today. Some people say, "Well, you can get into the kingdom of God in any way you want to." Not true. That's kind of like opening the borders, isn't it? Just come on in, legal or illegal, do what you want to do. But God has a pattern. He does have a pattern. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro," he says, "and carried about by every wind of doctrine," Ephesians 4 and verse 14. God says, he gives a strong warning through Paul and says, "You can't do that. You're going to have to conform to the pattern." We need to really give a lot of serious thought in today's world to the constitutionality of the Holy Scriptures. Do you know what the Bible really is, the New Testament? It's a constitution. It is. It's God's constitution, spiritually speaking. But if there is no blueprint, how can we be what God wants us to be? Can't be what God wants you to be. If there is no blueprint, is there a pattern for the church? I want you to look up here. Shift your eyes up here just a moment. Some may say that Christianity is chaotic, but consider this. God created New Testament Christianity. And his prayer in John the 17th chapter and verse 21 was this: that they all may be one. Be one! The church is not founded upon division, but it is founded, as we were talking about this morning, our Bible class here in the auditorium, on the peace of God and the death of Jesus on the cross. This is what God created. But let me show you something. This is what man created. It is true. They have thrown away the pattern. We've got denominationalism all over our world today. We have sectarianism. We have errors religiously that are being perpetrated in the name of God Almighty. Modernism that says, we don't like the book, we need to change. We got liberalists, people that are way out in left field, who are saying, I know what the Bible says, but you know what? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to preach what I want. We got preachers like that. They say, I'm going to preach what I want to preach. And you totally disregard God. You're no more spokesman for God than the atheist is. And we got all kinds of false doctrines. This is what man created. And you talk about chaos. That's chaos. These people have thrown away the pattern. They're not interested in the blueprint. They're not interested in the constitutionality of the Holy Scriptures. It's like, I want to build it my way. I want to design it my way. But God has a pattern for all things. He does. He has a pattern for marriage. Did you know that? God has a pattern. Read about it in Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 5. And that marriage does not include same-sex marriage. Yet we got a lot of liberals in Washington. And we got a lot of liberals in religion that think that's just fine. Christ did not come to give us, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Christ didn't come to give us the freedom of religion. He came to free us from religion. And don't you think about what I said. He didn't come to free us from Christianity, but he came to free us from religion. The religion that was being taught by mankind as the doctrine of Christ. Matthew 15 and verse 8. He says, for in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the pattern, the commandments of men. Well, I'll tell you right now, folks, the pattern, listen, the pattern is not the doctrines of men or even the opinions of men. God has a pattern for marriage. He has a pattern for the church. You know, when you come to worship here with us at Crockett Road, and we're a great congregation, we do Bible things in Bible ways. We speak the way the Bible speaks, and we try to be silent when the Bible is silent on certain issues. But the structure, organizationally speaking, of the church is found within the Holy Scriptures. It is. And not only is that organization found, but God's plan of redemption is found in the Word of God. God has a pattern for worship in the church. What we do is not what we want to do, but we're doing it in God's way. We're trying to worship the way God wants to be worshiped and glorified and honored, not in the shenanigans of men or the opinions of men, but by what God says. Do you know what? God has a pattern for the work of the church. We're to seek the lost. We're to preach the gospel. And we're to help those who are weak and strengthen them. And to help those with physical needs and material needs. He has a pattern for the way Christians are to live. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 27 that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. He has a pattern for the way that we should die as well. Did you know that? Not only does God have a pattern for the way that you live, but he has a pattern for the way you should die. You and I must die in faith. You and I must be a people that are not terrorized by death, because death brings us into the presence of our loving Father who is in heaven. That's his pattern for us, isn't it? It is. We don't take our own life. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the one that does it. And there is a pattern for what we must do in order to be saved. That, by the way, that pattern is found right here in this book. It's the blueprint. And yet we got all kinds of religious people teaching today that you don't have to conform to that. Oh, I know the Bible says that God says that we have to believe in Jesus, John 8:24, but I just really believe if I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. Or if a person is a sincere individual, then he's going to live with family members in the great beyond somewhere. Not so. I've heard people say, well, is it really imperative and really necessary that I make the great confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I believe it in my heart and I know it in my heart. Why should I have to stand before men and confess that? Because Jesus said to in the pattern. In the book of Matthew 10:32, listen to what he says. He said, if you confess me before men, not confess in your heart, but if you confess in your world before men that I am the Son of God, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. And when we don't confess him, it's tantamount to denying him. The pattern says that we're to be penitent of what we have done. That means willingness to change. That doesn't mean you're sorry for your sins, but it really means you're willing to change. That's what repentance is. And Jesus taught it, Luke 13:3. Every apostolic sermon deals with it. Acts 2, 38, Peter's second sermon, Acts 3, verse 19. I mean, we could go on and on with a litany of passages that teach us that. But some people say, well, if God really loves me, it's not really necessary for me to change. He knows it's my weakness. He knows that I know he loves me and he's going to save me in spite. No, that isn't what God said. Show me that in the pattern, in the blueprint, folks. I'll amend my sermon. And some people say, well, you know, I know the Bible teaches baptism, but I just don't really, I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of hell. And if God tells me to be baptized, listen, I'm more afraid of going to hell than getting in the water to be immersed in water to conform to the blueprint, to the standard, to the Holy Scriptures. I know what God teaches concerning living the life of a Christian also. And that's found in the pattern. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference between talking it and walking it. Behold, God's pattern. Here it is. God has a pattern. And we're to conform to it. We may not like that. You know, one of these days you will appear before your Maker. And your name will either be in the book of life or it will not. You can't change your name then. It may be like the little boy one time who came to his mother and he said, Mama, can I change my name right now? And she said, well, Ben, why would you want to change your name? And he said, because Dad said, as sure as he's coming home, he's going to spank me as sure as my name is Benjamin. You can't change your name. You can't change your destiny. When you stand before God, it is over and done. It is a judgment. When God judges you, you will either be sentenced to hell or you will be sentenced to the great, glorious heaven. God has a blueprint for His church. Make no mistake about it. God has a pattern for the name that we wear religiously. We don't give credence to the denominational names of people out there in the world. Why would I want to be named after all these people? Why wouldn't I want to wear the name of Jesus? The name of Christ, the church of Christ. It's biblical. Go to the book of Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. God has a pattern, or the law that we ought to follow, or how to become members of the church, as I mentioned a moment ago, or what kind of music God wants in the church. You know that? He even defines it very closely, very definitively in the Word of God, what we do in terms of our worship. Why do we partake the Lord's Supper every Sunday? You know why? Part of the blueprint, folks. And Jesus even established that. You know why we sing a cappella? Part of the blueprint, the pattern. Why do we give on the first day of the week? Pattern, blueprint. Why do we pray? Why do we preach? Why do we even assemble on the first day of the week? Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Hey, the blueprint says you will. It offers no alternative. The organization of the church, why it's made up of elders and deacons. That's the blueprint, folks. How we ought to feel toward one another. That is, we love each other. Jesus said, Paul said it too. John wrote it. In 1 John 4, he says, brethren, hey, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And we as Christians have not been left without a template to follow or a pattern for living. For in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, God has told us how to live. He's revealed it. Remember Hebrews chapter 5, or chapter 8 and verse 5? God told Moses, listen to it, make all things according to the pattern. I'm going to tell you, when they deviate from the pattern, you meet the consequences. Remember the story of Uzzah in the Old Testament? Wasn't supposed to touch the ark, but the ark is on a cart and they're moving it. Not according to the commandment of God, but their own wishes. And they move it, and the ark starts to fall, and the ark of the covenant is about to fall. And Uzzah stays it with his own hands, and he is smitten by God because he was commanded not to touch the ark. You think God's pattern isn't a serious thing? Paul writes to a young minister by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The New Testament does teach a plan. We were singing that song, David, a moment ago at Calvary. It says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. It was the love of God, wasn't it? And in 1 Timothy 3, these things write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But I tarry that thou may knowest how to behave thyself in the church, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. God has a law, James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being, listen to this, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hearing and doing, that is what God says. Hebrews 8, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. That's the church of the living God, isn't it? Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, after one has been baptized, to teach him to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even to the end of the world. And the early church did that. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, the blueprint, and continue in them. For if you do, you will not only save yourself, but you will save those that hear you. Every word of God is pure, Solomon wrote, Proverbs chapter 30. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou shalt not add to the words, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar. But what happens if we don't do the plan? Well, Jesus said that there are two ways, broad way, wide gate, and then there is that straight and narrow way that leads to life. And those are the ones that go into heaven. If we don't keep the plan, Jesus told the Pharisees, but in vain do you worship me. In vain do you worship me. Empty. No good. The question this morning is, are you planted by the Father? Have you been born again of incorruptible seed? Being born, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of the Lord that liveth and abideth forever. And Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. It is that pattern. It is. But are you following the blueprint? That's the question this morning. And I urge all of you to stop and think about your own life. Someday, God will call you, as I said, into his presence. And you will stand before God as one who adhered to the constitutionality of his word. Or you will stand as one who is lonely and weak and emaciated and estranged from God. And you know what? You don't know when that's going to happen. I'll conduct a service this coming Tuesday here in Palestine for one who died. Untimely. It happens a lot. A lot of people die every day. And you know what? What happens in a lot of cases is that people die oftentimes unprepared to meet God. There was a wealthy young man one time who was told that he needed to turn to God. But he dismissed that idea like a lot of people do. He'd heard sermon after sermon. But that night, he woke up to find a frightening individual at the end of his bed. Imagine. He cried out and he said, "Who are you?" And the angel said, "I'm the angel of death." He said, "Is my time up?" And the angel said, "Not yet. This is a warning. Before I come to take you away, I will send my messengers to warn you that your time is near." The angel disappeared, and relieved, the man fell back asleep. The years went by, and he thought, "I've got plenty of time now to make peace with God. He'll give me warnings when he's going to come again." And he said, "There have been no messengers." But that night, he awakened to find the angel of death sitting on the end of his bed again. And he stammered and said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I've come for you. Your time is over here on this earth." "But you can't do that. I mean, I'm not ready to go." And the angel says, "I've kept my word. I sent my messengers." And the man said, "What messengers?" He said, "Your gray hair, your wrinkles, your failing eyesight, your slow gait, and now your time is up." When that time comes, I want to stand before my Lord as one who not only preached this book, this blueprint, but is one who shared it with others and lived according to it. I hope you do too. I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, you yield to the will of God and obey his command by being baptized or rededicating your life to the one who loves you more than life, who gave you the pattern, but it's up to us to follow it while we stand and while we sing.